what can you say to your kids? And this went on for the whole 2 years. And I'm going to back up a little bit. Previous to them kidnapping my children, you know, I don't really, in a way, blame my late ex-mother-in-law. I understand, I feel for her. She lost two of her daughters in 3 years and a husband before that. So she was in grief. But what if she does something against me, no problem. I'm a big guy. I can take it. You know, bring it on. You know, throw it at me. Okay. But she hurt my children. And she caused a lot of damage and hurt and pain.
No, she drew the line when she was hurting you and your children.
And even before the camp, she said to me when one time, and I should have words, you know, Tim, she said to me in February, March before I left, she says, you know, I'm going to get you one day. I don't care what damage I get to the kids. I just want to make your life hell. And I'm going, like, she was holding it. And you know what it was, is if I'm after, is her, she was holding on to the hate. Because as long as she hated me, she didn't have to deal with grief. She wasn't grieving, but she hated me. So she was fine. So in a way, I envied her. Because, you know, she didn't have to deal with the pain, because she had the hate to hold on to. Say, ah, that Jeff, he got my, you know, daughter, you know. And she didn't have to deal with the grief. This is what a lot of counselors and have told me. And so this is terrible. So even before the children were kidnapped, they've been told that.
Psychotic to me, but go ahead.
By the mother-in-law. It was terrible. It was terrible. So we're going on, and all this time, it's really terrible. I just can't tell you. I wouldn't wish this on anybody. Not in my ex-mother-in-law. First Nation,
no,
anybody had? Nobody. It's really bad. And during this fight, I was really lucky. There was, I don't know if you ever guys in the United States heard of, we had an Oka crisis in 1990 where they had a big problem with the First Nation and they had to call in police, army, and there was a big problem. And there was a prominent figure during that time. Her name was Mavis Etienne. She was a Mohawk lady. She was probably involved in calming out and acting as a negotiator. And she's a Christian lady. Anyway, backing up to, you know, to the president, when we're going in court here in 2007, she came out in support of me. And I talked to her on the phone, and she actually entered a letter in court, you know. And she came out. She was, she's a trained lady. She was on Aboriginal Ministries Council, and she was a director of Addiction Treatment Center. So she's, you know, really educated, trained lady. And she came out championing our cause, and she, you know, wrote the letter of support. And this is what she said. You know, I'm quoting her words here. She said from the newspaper article. She said, "This is from a Native lady." Obviously, these children are being held hostage. Their mother died, and now they are depriving them of their daddy, citing that they would lose their culture because he is non-native. I feel this is a very racist attitude. Creator God gave us the children to him, not to the community. I think the stance they are taking now will make those children not even want to be proud of being Ojibwe, she added. They are making it harder for them to choose to celebrate who they are as native. Etienne said, it is up to the parent to decide how to nurture a child's identity. And the decision to encourage and preserve the children's native identity is not one for the community to make. It's up to the parent to nurture them and help them grow, and that they become proud of who they are on both sides. The parents' right supersede the rights of the community. I mean, she said all that.
Wow, she's amazing. Did a very good job.
Yeah.
And was she able to do that with the media?
Yeah, I'm reading right from the media. If you link that posted there, the story, it's all in there, and that GoFundMe link where my friends are doing fundraising. It's all in chronological order there, and that's all there, with her name and everything.
Okay.
And that was a real that was a really that was a really huge help to us. And also I appeared on CTV, the Verdict, with Paula Todd. It's a talk show in Canada at the time, and we appeared for about 45 minutes. And there was myself and a gentleman named Ken Richard. Remember that name? He was the executive director of the Toronto Children's Aid and a human rights professor. Now, here's the executive director of a Toronto Children's Aid. Of course, he's a Native man, and these are his words, exactly quoted. He said, "The father, Jeff, is a threat in this case because he wants to remove the children from the reserve and the culture. First Nations rights, or tribal rights, come before his parental rights. If he wants his kids, he will have to move back to the reserve." Can you believe that?
I'm speechless. I'm at a loss for words, other than the fact that it irates me. But please continue.
Yeah. And he also made me comments to me about being a white man and children needing to stay in the native culture. What does me
Yeah, it's
being a white man and
discriminatory.
a Christian have to do with this? It's just like, imagine if I was a black man, saying, "Well, Jeff's a black man and he's got to stay
Oh,
with
it
his
would
native."
be all
That's
over the
that.
freaking news. Yeah,
Or
okay.
if I was a native man, or if I was a Chinese man, or any denomination, like, it would be racist to say anything there. And it was great. And also in court, the Children's Aid argued that the children are not Christian and the children should not be exposed to Christian teachings. Now, children have been and are Christian. I mean, that's another disgusting thing. And during the whole time, they wouldn't let them be exposed to any Christian doctrine or reading or anything at all.
Course not.
And during this time, I'm living in Guelph, Ontario, which is in the suburbs, but about 1 hour and 15 minutes outside of Toronto. I lived in the area there, and I'm a type of person, I'm going to use every resource possible. I get a lot of people, they're going to say, "Children's Aid." As soon as first when I got in town, my first stop was at the local Children's Aid, and said, "Hey, go on, give me your advice, give me your critique, good, bad, ugly. Tell me, what we're gonna, what I'm gonna do, So I went to them a lot, as advocates, going, "Hey, if you have anything to say, say it to me. What, wrong?" And they said, "Look, Jeff, this is ridiculous. What you're through, this is, we can't believe this, And they said, "Well, we can't get involved because, we're not there." And the Native Children's Aid asked them to do a home study and assessment of me. So they had to do that on behalf of the Native Children's Aid. So they came to my house, checked it from top to bottom, every check you can see. And we're talking an in-depth check. Sat down, interviewed me for hours, multiple times. And
Really?
oh yeah, doctor's report,
That was an
everything. And when you get,
interrogation.
no, I mean, that's part of a home study. They check you out. I mean, they want to know. So I had no problem. I said, "Hey, come on back." And I even said, "Hey, come on, let's do more." And he said, "No, we haven't." "Okay, you want to come back tomorrow?" I had no problem with them. And they wrote a glowing report about me, passed with flying colors. Everything they said. Native Children's Aid said in court that the Guelph Children's Aid were biased in my favor because I was a white man.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
I'm so. This is absurd. It is. It's blatant discrimination. That's right.
And okay, where the, I mean, not to say going, so I'm a white man, single father, a widower. And I was not to say to women, because I really respect women, mothers, support. Well, there's no real
Yes, of
support.
course.
There's no support. People thinking, so sad, too bad. Pretty well, don't bother me. And a lot of people, really didn't understand it. And it was overwhelming for for people to understand the situation. How do you explain all this to them? People, after 5, 10 minutes talking to them, people eyes glaze over and So, yeah, I got to go, I got to call and, you know, walk away. So I had very little support, you know. So, you know, it
What
was
were you
all,
able to do then?
It's just fight, fight, fight. You know, it's what I did 24/7 for 2 years is live, breathe, and about this case. And, you know, unfortunately, I was pretty naive legal. I wish I knew what I knew now, but it was
We all
really,
say that.
yeah, and it was really it was really difficult. And also at the time, after the Globe and Mail interview, it was front page story, got, you know, headline news story. In Toronto, and is a big radio station called CFRB 1010. It's one of the biggest radio stations in Canada and probably in some American.
ESRB, is that correct?
Yeah, CFRB.
Oh, okay.
CFRB. And there's a great, great journalist, reporter, speaker, a gentleman named Michael Corn. He also writes for the Toronto Sun newspaper. He's written 12 books. And I emailed him up, and we went back and forth, and he was guest hosting on one show, and I went on there for an hour, and
okay.
It was, and after the show, I got an interview, I got an email from a gentleman. He said, Jeff, I just finished your 1 hour interview with Michael Korn on CFRB radio. I share Michael's incredibility that this has happened and is continuing to happen to you and your children. I also read the Globe and Mail article concerning your plight and that of your children. Being a father of a 10-year-old daughter myself, I cannot express how much I sympathize with you. I will write to my MP, which is Member of Parliament, you know, for Canada, like your congressman and senator, like more like a senator.
Gotcha.
And MPP, which is Member of Provincial Parliament for your state senator, about your situation, to urge them to do something. I wish you the best of luck at your hearing on the 30th. Best wishes to you and your two children. So that was really nice getting some of this, you know, back
some
up.
Some good
and
positive reinforcement there, yeah.
Yeah, and the radio show was CFRB Radio Mike Richards Show, you know, with Michael Corn. And also, I never saw, but multiple people told me that CNN Larry King did a short blurb about our situation about the white father against the Indian tribe fighting for custody. So we had quite a bit of media reach there at the time.
Okay.
So this is all going over huge back. So where I'm going media, oh, they were infuriated, mad, pretty well told me they're going to make it harder if you get the kids. And I said, well, pretty well, how much harder are you going to make it? You know, when it comes to that, I said it. I mean, my lawyer was really upset at the time. And I'm pretty well said, okay, you know what, you guys, this is war. You know, going through, you don't know. I don't care who you are, what you do. When it comes to my children, I die for my children. You know, you're going down. You're going to be wish the day you had started this, because I'm not going to turn one stone unturned. And they liked it, and they're saying, oh, you know, people putting down native rights, and you're making us look bad and all this. Well, I'm sorry. And, you know, there's probably some people in the First Nation. There's a lot of people in the First Nations that are really good. This is only a small minority that started this. But you know what really bothered me? Nobody spoke up and said anything. Everybody was worried about rocking the boat and saying, you know, sorry, we can't say anything because we had to live here.
Right. That must be the political correction up there.
Well, I mean, I guess anyway, I understand it. You know, if you're living in a small community of 450 people, but nobody stood up and said, this is wrong. You know, nobody really said that. Some people said, a lot of people said to be privately, but nobody said to publicly.
Okay, so yeah. Nobody went on record.
No, nobody had record, and he also when the day when the judge signed the police custody order, the judge sent us outside to talk to try to get agreement going. So he sent my lawyer, the children's native lawyer, the children's own lawyer. We have an Office of Children's Lawyer, excellent organization here in Canada, and myself, and people from the First Nation go to talk. And we're going outside, and we're talking. And one of the managers there, who fought tooth and nail to keep the children on the reserve, threatened me on the steps of the courthouse with my lawyer, children's lawyer, and the native children's lawyer present. But unfortunately, this was done in a camera session, so you can't bring it in and say, "Hey, judge, they said that," you know?
Right.
You know, or say, you know, "Hey, they threatened me," you know, and which was really infuriating, you know, and
absolutely.
And you know, and to back up and to reiterate again, this, I can't repeat this so strongly, you know, to sink this in. So, as I said before, 1 month before we went to court for the last time, I finally received my police record check, which showed I had no criminal record, no problem with the law ever, anywhere. My lawyer had asked additionally for any police reports involving me. So we got one report that clearly stated the following, like I said before. The police had received a call from a native child worker in July 2005 saying that I had apprehended and I kidnapped my children and had left the reserve for my children. He first stated, you know, the children were the wards of the Native Children's Aid and asked that I be apprehended, arrested immediately, and the children return, and, you know, and call U.S. Customs were called and immigrations to be blocked. I mean, this is what they said. And this went on, so the police investigated, and about 3 or 4 hours later, they called back, and the Native Children Aid worker admits to the officer in the report, after the original call, that children were not wards of the Children Aid. Well, if he wasn't, he said he would. I mean, there's no gray area here. He lied to the police.
Okay.
He lied to the police. So this is,
In about a minute, what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break, so that way we can get up, move around a little bit, because we've been going for about an hour, but I know that there's more to come, and certainly want to get to the bottom of this, but go ahead and just continue on here, just in about a few more minutes we'll go for a break, okay?
Okay. Now, I just want to, I'm not going to name names, right? I'm going to say, but the same worker that involved in the case, the guy that lied to the police, called the police, asked them to be apprehended, the one that apprehended my children, kidnapped my children, and, you know, involved in court, he had no training. He had 2 months training. I don't even believe he had a high school education. Let's say he had a high school education. He did not have a degree, because I knew that from my wife. She sat on the board and knew all the staff. And he wasn't a registered social worker. So, I mean, you're dealing with untrained, unprofessional person. And what's even really ridiculous, people in Canada understand this, in Ontario, how it works. And in the United States, too, the normal Children Aid had a license in their law. But in Ontario, for the First Nations, for the Indian tribes, an agency holds a license. So it's called Wet'suwet'en, is the Children's Aid. So Wet'suwet'en is the Children's Aid, but it's like it's a agency, a holding agency. They don't have any power to apprehend. All that they do some investigation in that, and then they have 10 area First Nation tribes, and then they have worker on those tribes that are minimal training, and these actually workers do the apprehending. So, and the First Nation tribe uses this agency's license. So, talk about an abuse of power. You know, I mean, it's really ridiculous. I'd like to see this investigated. I mean, this is it's not good for anyone.
No, it isn't, and especially if they don't even know what they're doing. Like you were saying, it's like ill repute. I mean, they have no education. They're like savages.
Let's not say that. I have to stand up for that. Let's, you know, taking that, because I would say the First Nation, like my children are half Native, half non-Native. So I'm not saying that. But I mean, there's a lot of good people there. You know, some people there are trained, but I mean, some people are trying. I mean, they're probably trying their best for something. But the problem with this is they use this for political and cultural reasons. They abuse their power.
I gotcha. Yeah. Understandable. And unfortunately, you totally got in the crosshairs in the process. But at any rate, ladies and gentlemen, our listeners...